I was telling you about this Starkin. Now, a strange thing with this great friend of mine was called Murphy. Now, they at one time tried to get all the, they thought the Irish would all come on their side, you see. So they took anybody that they thought were Irish away to another camp and gave them a right royal time until they eventually found out they were wasting their time completely. You know? And he came back then to us. But that's by the way. Well, from that camp, we were then sent to another camp, again, still in Berlin. And we were there. This was more to do with the railways. I know we were had to empty wagons of ballast, stones, you know. And we negotiated with the Germans that if we finished a wagon, we'd have the rest of the day off, you know. Which they maintained for a while until they thought they were on a good thing here, so they gave us two wagons, so they got half a wagon instead. Mm. But we were then getting a lot of Red Cross parcels, a lot of different things, a lot of cigarettes from home, which were wonderful for barter. You could barter those for food. So, and you can imagine we had a bit of time off then. We could play football. I was probably fitter than I've ever been in my life. but it didn't last. We were then bombed out of that camp. The British were aiming for the main Rome, Berlin-Rome line, which ran fairly near the camp. And he'd obviously been hit and he was trying to jet his bombs as near as he could to the railway. And he straddled the camp. But strangely enough, only one man in the whole camp was killed. But I can remember we were hanging out of the windows. Again, this is strange. Hanging out of the windows, said, "Send him down, boys." And all of a sudden, the whole of the side of the hut went out. Whole of the side of this hut, these huts had a central passage right through, with sleeping quarters one side, eating quarters the other side. Now, everybody was trying to get out into the central passage, which was just solid with wood beams and everything. The whole of the side was open. Nobody ever thought of going to walk out of the side. Yeah, this was, again, shock, I suppose. Yeah. In fact, we had to walk 3 miles to another camp, which we met up again with some of our own lads, which we hadn't seen before for all this time. One fellow walked all that way with a nail right through his foot, and he didn't even know until he got the shock, you see. Yeah, so from there, we were then sent to, which was again a holiday camp. It was a place called Wulheide, right in the middle of the forest. It was a wonderful place. It had a swimming pool as well. It had been a holiday camp for German workers, actually, for those natural resources workers. I can't think what we were doing there, working there, but we weren't there all that long. I think it was just a sort of staging post. And then we were told we were going to go to Innsbruck in Austria, which suited us fine. Yes, that's a beautiful place, God. So we eventually set off again in cattle trucks. And we stopped at a place called Milberg. And we were told that we were going to have to go down to Saxony to a place called Chemnitz. We said, "Oh no, we're going to Innsbruck." "Oh no, you're not. You're going to Chemnitz." "No, we're going to Innsbruck." Anyway, the real kerfuffle started off. Next minute, we were lined up and marched off at bayonet point to what was I think it was next door to a concentration camp, because we literally slept in bunks about that. That was the space you had to sleep in. There were a lot of Russians there. Now, the Russians had a terrible time in Germany, terrible time. They were treated like animals, literally. And I think we were there until we'd learned our lesson a bit, and eventually we did go to Chemnitz in Saxony. And that's where we finished the war. That was night. We were in Chemnitz itself, but eventually we went to a little place in called Crossan and Mulder, and we worked in a paper mill there. Now, that was interesting because they had papers from all over the world. 3 or 4 days old, that was all. Mm-hmm. So we knew far more than anybody else what was going on, because we had the German papers, we had English papers, we had American, we had Swedish. And, you know, whereas the British paper would say, well, we shot down 100 Germans and lost 20, and the Germans would say, we shot down 80 British and lost 10 or something like that. With all these papers, you'd really know, you could guess what was going on. But the odd thing about it, the lads knew I was interested in the TT. In fact, I'd given one or two talks about the TT in camp. And they used to bring me any motorcycling magazines, and I had a wonderful collection of pictures there, which I lent to somebody here, and I can't remember who I've lent it to, but I've never seen it since. But the strange thing, one of the first magazines I got, there was a photograph in it of the place where I worked on the South Quay in Douglas.
Must have been very strange seeing that so far away from home.
Yeah, most peculiar. But yeah, we worked in a paper mill. My friend he worked for the Liverpool Echo in Liverpool before the war. Mm-hmm. He said, after the war, I'm not stopping. He said, I'm going to emigrate. So he got a job on the printing machines in this place, and I used to help him. That was interesting, really. We all had to work in some form or other. And it was a village camp, and it was quite nice. You know. And at that time, of course, the writing was on the wall. The Germans could see what happening, and discipline was lessening, and but it was still tough, because then all food parcels had stopped again, you know, and the Germans really hadn't food to give us either. And eventually, I wish I'd have kept a note of dates. But eventually, during this period, Dresden was bombed. Well, you've probably heard about what happened to Dresden. We were 40 miles away from Dresden, and it cracked the windows in our barracks. We were all outside in slit trenches. It was frightening. Churchill once said that the sky would be black, like rooks, he said, and it literally was. Planes going over. Oh, it was frightening, because you didn't know whether it was going to come down on you. Yeah. But that was it. And eventually, we had wirelesses then, you know. And everybody, you've probably seen various films about it, but eventually, you know, somebody had acquired a wireless and it'd be hidden somewhere. But we knew what was going on, so we could keep a record of where everything was. And we knew the Americans weren't far away, because we could hear them. But we expected to be released one day, and we could hear the guns on that side, we could hear the guns here. And when we realised that we were just going to be circled, they were going either side of us, we were going to be released. You know. And but eventually, another of my particular mates was a little Welsh chap, rather excitable. And, you know, you'd got blasé then, we're not going to get out of this place. Just, and the excitement had sort of died. And he came shooting in one day. What's the matter, Taff? There's a tank on the bridge. He said, I don't think it's German. Well, everybody's shot out, you see. And I can still see it as clear as mud. There was this big tank. And it's typical of cartoons. A big American sitting on the top with a cigar. You know, hiya, fellas. I'm from Kentucky, the bluegrass country. Where the hell are we? They were about, they'd run off their maps, you know. So they said, well, you know, you guys get out of here as quick as you can, because we're going to blow this place up. So as you would, you know, you do get out as quick as you can. And of course, left a lot of things behind. I left a damn good watch there, I know. And eventually we walked quite a long while to a place where the Americans had their sort of headquarters. And they couldn't do enough for us. I never have a wrong word to say about the Yanks. They were good to us. Where you guys doing? Well, we're looking for transport. Oh, gee, you don't want to go there yet. Come on with us. Opened the house door, right out. And there's your house. They said, you do what you want. And this, I know this kitchen or the basement of this house was full of jars of fruit, you know, canned fruit. And we had a real good do. And then we found a car. So we set off in a car. As a lot of other people do, there's all sorts of fellas, you know, in all sorts of equipment. And eventually it got ridiculous because all the stuff was going one way. The Americans were trying to come the other way with all their stuff. You know. So everybody was ordered off. And we went to a depot there, and we were then taken by truck, a little Negro that could hardly see over the top of the steering wheel. It was a mad drive. And all along you could see these huge enclosures with German, thousands upon thousands of German prisoners, you know. And eventually we were taken to a place called Gotha, where they used to make the old Zeppelins in the old days. And we were put into a big barracks there. And I said, right, you'll be given a number, and when your number is called, you'll be put on a plane, so many to a plane. And as planes were coming in, discharging cargo, they were taking, I don't know, 25 men out at a time, you see. And eventually our team came, and we were stuck on one of these planes, nowhere to sit. And we hedge-hopped, because there were still German, what they called, werewolves, that they were known as. Still a few Germans, you know, fanatics popping around. And they took us to Le Havre. And they were wonderful in Le Havre, except for the fact that, you know, we had a lot of bits of souvenirs we'd picked up there. I had a lovely little Beretta a revolver and a camera that I collected in one of the houses. Looted, the best word. You guys won't be able to take that to England, you know. You'll lose them all. Here, we'll buy them from you, will you, of course. You did. And I regretted that. So then we eventually flown back on another plane, RAF plane, to Abingdon in Oxford. And from there we came on home leave.
I mean, after all those years of experience and that, what was it like when you eventually made it back?
Pretty strange. I remember we came, they were making a big fuss of everybody coming, you know, particularly ex-prisoners. And there were only two of us, another particular mate of mine who eventually emigrated to America, and we kept in touch, and still, well, he's dead now, unfortunately. And there were just the two of us, and the captain of, I think it was the Russian castle we came on, the boat, the captain said, now, they'll have a welcoming party there with the band and everything. And I said, well, we don't want any fuss. We just want to get home. He said, okay, he said, I'll see that which we didn't. My mother and father and sisters were there to meet us, and they didn't have cars then and any. And I remember going on the bus, and I can always remember. I lived in Ballasalla then. I don't know if you know Ballasalla. Mm-hmm. Well, you know where the pub is.
Yeah.
Well, the post office on the right then. We got off the bus, and we walked down. And just as I reached the corner, a girl who was at school the same time, who lived just near me anyway, she just saw me, she burst into tears. I thought, well, I'm not that bad, surely. I don't know whether it was shock or seeing, because I was thin then, you know, dreadfully thin. And so we got 6 weeks leave then, and a long leave, and then I was eventually sent back, and I was posted then to a Scottish regiment who'd never been out of England, and they hadn't a clue about anything. I had a wonderful time up there because I could just do what I liked. And that is where I met my wife up there, and I say I brought her back 53 years ago. And that was, I was then demobbed from that unit. And that was it. That was my my army career.
Well, yes,
but I mean, you know, it's 4 years of your life, you can say, gone. But on the other hand, I wouldn't like to go through it again, but I'm not sorry that I went through it, in a way. Because there are many, many, many fellows never came back, and I did. Yeah, so I was lucky. And as I say, I met some great fellows in the, on the way. Great fellows. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I think we'll end it there. That's fantastic. Thank you.